Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's been a real blessing to be here already. It's been encouraging, inspiring. I was blessed with the one song we sang this morning. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. And I was just blessed with that song as I thought about what I want to share this morning. Perfect peace in difficult circumstances. I feel like the Lord very clearly was laying that on my heart this past week and a half about having peace in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of some very difficult things. My theme verse this morning is going to be 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. I heard a quote recently that I'll be using throughout the sermon here. It says, peace does not depend on our circumstances. True peace depends on a person. Peace does not depend on our circumstances. True peace depends on a person. You know, life is filled with difficult circumstances. We have them all around us most of the time. You know, our country is in constant turmoil over something. There's always something going on in the government, just all around us. Then we have local circumstances that can be challenging. We have family difficulties. We have problems related to work. Maybe it's weather problems. If you're a farmer or if you do construction or excavating, you know what that's like. We've had lots of rain, and that can be challenging. Maybe it's health problems or getting old. We're getting old. Some of us are. I think we all are, but some of us are older than others, and that can be a challenge sometimes. Maybe it's church problems. Or maybe it's just everyday problems that we face, like plumbing issues, car problems, or like Kennard was saying, like the guy that pulls out in front of us. Those can be very real things that we have to deal with in our hearts. And sometimes we need to just stop and remind ourselves that our peace doesn't depend on those circumstances. It doesn't depend on everything going well. Our peace depends on a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. But in the world, it's not that way. They don't have that. Their peace depends on their circumstances. When everything's going well, things are going smoothly, everybody's happy, the family's turning out well, they think they have peace. So in the world, maybe you're having a difficulty finding a job. And finally, after 2 months of looking for a job, you finally find a job and you say, aha, now I can have peace. Or maybe it's a rough diagnosis and you go to the doctor and he says, oh, it's really not that bad. And he gives you a prescription, you go home and you say, aha, now I can have peace. It's not that bad after all. Now I can rest. Or maybe, like we heard this morning, the guy that backs into our yard is killed. Now we can have peace, justice. We don't have to deal with him anymore. That's what the world does. That's what their peace depends on. It depends on positive circumstances. But there's a problem with that, because circumstances are transient. They don't last long. It's not long until things start going the other way again, and that peace is gone. I had to think, the world's peace is like a glass of cold lemonade on a hot summer day. It's good and wonderful while it lasts, but once it's gone, you forget about it. It's gone. Or the world's peace can be like the eye of a hurricane. If I understand right, a hurricane, when a hurricane hits, you have the full brunt of the storm. And then after a little while, there's what's called the eye of the storm, where there's peace. Everything settles down. There's a little pocket of peace there. And just as you're relaxing and you sit back and say, oh, this is so nice, the other half of the storm hits, and it's just as bad as the first half. That's what the world's peace consists of. It's this little pocket of positive circumstances surrounded by a storm. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. But you know what's wonderful? God's peace is not like that. God's peace is different. God's peace does not depend on circumstances. God's peace depends on a person. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. So point number one, true peace is characteristic of God. True peace is characteristic of God. It's who God is. God is a God of peace. And the Bible repeats that God is a God of peace. In Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you. Romans 16:20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Here's a good one. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is a God of peace. But here in this verse, in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, is the only place in the New Testament that it refers to him as the Lord of peace. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. So why is that? Why does it call him the Lord of peace? Thinking about that, I was like, it's simple. He is the Lord of peace. He is where our peace comes from. He is the only source of our peace. You know, our peace is not, it's not having sunshine every day so we can make hay and farming goes well and construction goes well. That's not what our peace comes from. It's not coming home from the doctor with a new prescription that is going to cure your disease. It's not having a job after looking for 2 months. That is not true peace. That peace is depending on your circumstances. True peace is when you're in the middle of a difficult circumstance, when everything's been going wrong, there's turmoil, there's trouble, there's issues in the family, whatever it might be. In the middle of all that, you can be at peace. There's a deep, settled peace and a rest because your peace doesn't depend on your circumstances. It depends on a person. Now, as I was studying on this topic, I came to realize something that I hadn't really thought about before, and that is that this peace is different from the peace that we have with God. In other words, if we are born again and we are at peace with God, we can still have turmoil in our hearts if we allow it. Although the two are connected. There's many scriptures that we could turn to to see what that peace looks like, the peace that we have with God. But I'll just read a few verses here to give us an idea of what that peace looks like. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus coming down, taking upon himself the punishment that we so rightfully deserved, allows us to have peace with God. Colossians 1:20 to 23, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So we see that having peace with God is through Jesus Christ as well, just the same as having peace in our heart in the middle of difficult circumstances. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't have peace with God, you've never been born again, you won't be able to connect with the type of peace that we're talking about. Having peace in difficult times isn't going to be a reality to you if you're not born again. So that has to happen in order to have that peace. And if you're not born again and you have peace, it's depending on your circumstances. So if everything is going well, you can have peace. Or maybe you are born again, which I hope most of us are, but you're not experiencing that peace in your heart, and you're in a turmoil about something that's happened. Maybe there's a very difficult situation that you're in, difficult things you're going through, and you don't have that peace in your heart. Your heart's in a turmoil. Maybe your peace is depending on your circumstances, even though you are at peace with God. Here in a little bit, we'll talk about what we can do to have that peace in our hearts in the middle of difficult circumstances. And again, I'd just like to say this peace that we're talking about is different from having peace with God. I'd like to make that clear. We should all have peace in our hearts. We should all be at peace with God. If we're Christians, if we're born again, we should be at peace with God. And if we're not, brothers, we need to do something about it. If there's sin that needs to be repented of, we need to fall on our face and we need to repent. Because if we don't have peace with God, we're lost. We need to keep that peace with God. If there's sin in our lives, it's going to rob us from that peace. But the peace we're talking about this morning is a restful kind of peace in the middle of a storm. Knowing that God's in control and that we don't have to get frustrated about the situation. We don't have to get upset. We don't have to worry. We can be at peace knowing that God is in control. It's a peace that comes from walking with God. If you're not walking with God, you won't have this peace. So again, we see that God is a God of peace. It is His character. Point number two, true peace is given by God. True peace is given by God. Again, our verse, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always by all means. Jesus said in John 14:27, and I was blessed with this verse a week ago. It just really stood out to me. I feel like the Lord was laying this topic on my heart, and then that verse just jumped out at me. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So again, we see that the peace that comes from Jesus is different than the world's peace. And he specifically says that. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. It's different. This peace is different. It lasts. It doesn't depend on circumstances. The peace that Jesus gives us is not just this good feeling that we get when everything's turning out well and everything's going good. The peace that he gives is the type of peace that can be present even when things are not going well. So what do we do when we find ourselves in tough circumstances? John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So it's inevitable. We will face tribulations. We will face circumstances that are very difficult. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In me, you can find that peace. If you would, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul was talking to the church at Thessalonica here. They were facing some very difficult things. And he was just giving them some very clear instruction and encouragement. And I thought I would take a few points out of this scripture and apply it to what we can do to have peace. So basically what Paul is saying in this scripture is that if you're facing difficult things, this is what I want you to do, and you can find peace in your hearts. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So there's three points that I'd like to suggest that can be steps to finding that peace in the middle of tough situations. Number one, remember what God has done for you. Remember what God has done for you. If we go back to verse 13, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. If we can remember that and just spend time in the middle of a very difficult situation, take the time and remember what God did for you. Remember what Jesus did on the cross. The punishment that I and you so rightfully deserved that fell on him. Remember what God has done for you. Point number two, remember what God is doing in you. So again, back to point number one, remembering what God has done for you. Like we talked about earlier, if you haven't experienced that, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've experienced that salvation, if that isn't present, that peace won't be there. So for those of us who are born again and who have experienced that, we can stop and remember what Jesus did for us. Point number two, remember what God is doing in you. And you might say, well, what is that? Especially if you're in a difficult circumstance. But again, back to verse 13, because God hath chosen, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There he brings in the sanctification. And you might say, how is he doing that? What is he You know, he is sanctifying us by the Spirit and belief of the truth. And I really like how the Amplified Version says, it says, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and by your faith in the truth. It was to this end that he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain and share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is sanctifying us by his Spirit so that we can obtain and share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how he sanctifies us? Through hardships, trials, difficult situations. He allows those things into our lives for a purpose. There's nothing that passes God's inspection that happens to our lives that he doesn't allow. He allows everything for a purpose. There's a reason. So when your back is against the wall and you don't know which way to turn, everything's going wrong, your family's a mess, whatever it might be, it seems like it's just overwhelming and you don't know which way to turn. And all you can do is drop to your knees and just cry out to God and say, God, I need you. That's wonderful. Even though we don't feel like it at the time, that's God's way of allowing us to become more like him. It's his way of sanctifying us. So, point number one, remember what God has done for you. Remember what God is doing in you, the work that he continues to do in us. And point number three, remember what God is saying to you. And I feel like this is just as important as any of the others, to remember what God is saying to us. Basically, to remember that the Word of God is true. It is accurate. It's real. Whatever the Bible says, it's true. So if we go back to verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. The Amplified Version says, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold tightly to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort and encouragement and the good hope of salvation by his grace, comfort and encourage and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. So to remember what God is saying to us, and that's through his word, it can be through brothers, but to remember that God's promises are true. And again, in difficult situations, sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard to feel that. But we need to go beyond our feelings and believe that the Word of God is true. The Bible promises that the Lord will comfort us and give us strength and courage. So when you're faced with a difficult situation, remember that God's Word is true. His promises are real. They're there for a reason. He cares about us and he cares about the situation we find ourselves in. So, to go back over the different points about how to find that peace in our lives. Number one, remember what God has done for you. He has chosen you to salvation. You are special. He created you for a purpose, and he chose you to salvation through Jesus. Number two, remember what God is doing in you. He is sanctifying you through these trials. And you can allow the Lord to use the trials you're facing to make you a better person, to become more like Jesus, to become more sanctified. Number three, remember what God is saying to you. The Bible is true. His promises are real. You can count on them. And I would like to bring in here, we need to spend lots of time by ourselves praying, seeking the Lord, spending time in His Word, especially during difficult times. I have found that if I don't do that, the circumstance tends to overwhelm me, and it just discourages me. It gets me down. So spending lots of time in His Word, seeking out those promises, they're there for a reason. They are there for those difficult times. I believe if we do these three things in the middle of difficult circumstances, we can find that peace that comes from the Lord. True peace is given by God. Point number three, true peace is always available. True peace is always available. Again, our theme verse, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Amplified Version says, now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace at all times and in every way, that peace and spiritual well-being that comes to those who walk with him regardless of life's circumstances. I thought that was, I really like that. Just makes it very clear. The peace that comes to those who walk with him regardless of life's circumstances. If my peace is tied to my circumstances, I'm going to be let down again and again. If my peace is tied to my car running well, I'm going to be let down because sometime or another, I'll have a flat tire, the battery will go bad, transmission goes out, whatever it might be. My peace can't be tied to my car running well because I'm going to be let down. Or if my peace is tied to the weather being nice and everything going well with my family and with relationships, or having good health till I'm 95 years old, I'm going to be let down again and again and again. Because those things don't last. They don't promise lasting peace. But if my peace is tied to a person, to Jesus Christ, I can have true peace. And not only that, it's available at all times, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. If we're walking with Jesus, we have a vital relationship with him, we can face the most difficult circumstance and have that peace in our hearts. Just knowing that he is there and he cares. There's a rest that comes if we're at peace in our hearts. Just a rest. It's really kind of hard to explain. You can't go out into the world and try to tell them that, you know, this is what it feels like. This is what it's like, because they don't understand. They couldn't grasp that. And I think there's a reason that it's hard to explain. In Philippians 4, if you want to turn there with me, Philippians 4, it talks about that. Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Peace that passeth all understanding. How much understanding do you have? You know, some of us have very little, some of us have a lot, you know. It varies. But if you would go on a search and travel all over the world and you would look for the person that has the most understanding, and you would sit down and talk to him, and you would ask him to explain why we can have peace in our hearts when we're faced with a very difficult situation, you would just ask him, so, you know, you have a lot of understanding. Explain to me how that works. Why can I have peace in my heart in the middle of a difficult situation? If somebody would come and kill my brother, how can I have peace in my heart in that situation? How does it work? I don't think he'd have a good answer. I really don't, because it's hard to even grasp. But if you've experienced it, you know what it's like. You know what it feels like. I don't think he'd have a good answer, because it says it passeth all understanding. And I might be looking at that wrong, but the way I take that is it is something that can't really be comprehended by us humans with our finite minds. It's beyond our capability of understanding, and yet we can have it. It's hard to explain that. But it's a peace that comes only from walking with the Lord and having a relationship with him. But if that relationship is lacking, if we are not walking with the Lord and we don't have that vibrant relationship with Jesus, things are going to be difficult. Our circumstances are going to get us down. We'll be discouraged. Things will look hopeless. It'll be just like that hurricane. There's a little bit of peace here, and then it's turmoil again. But brothers, true peace is always available. It's always at our fingertips, within reach at all times and in every circumstance. I assume you all know what I mean when I say the elephant in the room, right? You know what that phrase means. It's something that's present, but nobody talks about it. And we don't have to talk about it. You all know the circumstance that we find ourselves in. And some of you are closely connected. Some of you are family. But as churches, as families, as close friends, we find ourselves in a very difficult situation. But even during this trying time, even during the times of tears and crying out to God, we can have peace. We can have peace in our own hearts, knowing that God is in control of the situation, knowing that He has a purpose for this. He doesn't approve of sin. But when a person recognizes his sin and is truly repentant, he can use that person, he can use that situation to bring glory to himself. And I believe that's what he wants to do. But again, I want to say it is very important that we maintain a close connection with God during these times. You know, there's social media, and I don't have hardly any connection with that. But there's blogging sites, there's things on the website, you know, all over the web about the situation. And here recently, I found myself just trying to, you know, seeing what people are saying. And that day was not a good day. It was not a good day. It just got me down. Because what people are saying is not good. Most of it isn't good. And I don't need to see that stuff. But I had to think. You know, that day, I allowed my circumstance to take away that peace in my heart. And that didn't feel good. It just didn't feel right. I recognize there's times where maybe we need to do some research and we need to, whatever it might be. But I guess my encouragement would be, let's not go there. Let's not allow those blogging sites to control us. It's bound to take away our peace. But I found myself as I was, you know, that day, as I was reading some of those things, I found that my focus shifted off of God and it focused on the circumstance. And when that happens, our peace tends to just go away. It's kind of like that cold glass of lemonade on a hot summer day. It just goes away. You forget about it. You know, this message is not a hellfire and brimstone message. It's not a message that, I don't know how to describe it. But I just felt like we need to be encouraged to have peace in our hearts. Because this situation, and it's not just this situation we find ourselves in, but there's many. There's many difficult situations. There's family struggles that some of us have. Whatever it might be, whatever your specific situation is that you find yourself in, the thing I would like to leave with you is you can have true peace in your heart in the middle of those situations. I like the verse in Isaiah 26, verse 3. I felt like it was really just a clincher to this topic. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Why? Or who? "Whose mind is stayed on thee." And why? "Because he trusteth in thee." Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's the only place that our peace is going to come from, is if we are trusting in God and we are having a relationship with him and our mind is stayed, it's fixed on him. Hebrews 12, there's a few verses I'd like to read. Hebrews 12, 11 to 15. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Chastening doesn't feel good. Trials don't feel good. Difficult situations aren't easy. They're not joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And there again, we come back to the sanctifying that comes through the trials, through difficult situations. And this is just an encouragement for us. Lift up the hands which hang down. Sometimes it feels like we're just wiped out. But we need to lift up our hands and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Look where we're going. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. The challenge I'd like to leave with us this morning is found in Colossians chapter 3. If you want to turn there with me. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Just some very good instruction for us. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. But above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15 really stood out to me, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I believe if we keep our focus on the Lord and thank him for our trials, that can be a challenge sometimes, but it says be thankful, and I think that's what it means. It's be thankful. And the peace of God can rule in our hearts. Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace at all times and in every way. That's just such a beautiful verse. The Lord of peace himself granting us peace. And not just any peace, but his peace. And not just now, but at all times and by all in every way, by all means. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Could we stand and pray? Our Father, God, we come to you. Lord, we recognize that we are needy creatures in need of your help. Lord, even in these difficult times that we find ourselves in, we recognize that you are the source of our peace. And I pray, Lord, that you would grant that peace to each one of us, whether we're closely related to a very difficult situation or whether things are going well for us. I pray that that peace would rule in each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would draw our hearts together as a body, as believers. Lord, we love you. We love the church, Lord. We love your church. Father, I pray that you would help us to be faithful to you until the end. Lord, we look to you for the rest of this day and this week as we go about each day. I pray that you would help us to keep our focus on you, to spend time with you in your word and in prayer and meditation, seeking your face. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a God of peace. Thank you that we can have that peace in, at all times in the most difficult circumstances. Just ask your blessing upon the rest of this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.